Our first reading today is from the book of Acts, chapter 4. And as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. On the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from 1 John chapter 3. "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, you can't read this passage from John 10, where Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd, without thinking of Psalm 23, where King David declares, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." But there's a big difference between those two passages. In Psalm 23, the voice is King David's, a mere man's voice. a man who, despite his stellar reputation and greatness among men, proved himself to be fallible. In John 10, on the other hand, the voice is not David's voice, but Jesus' voice, the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Here's why the difference in those two passages is important. In Psalm 23, the voice of David, the voice of a man, proclaims, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But David did want. In fact, he wanted Bathsheba, another man's wife. So he took her and killed him because he thought he could get away with it. He wanted to have whatever his heart desired. And according to God's word, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. Psalm 23 continues, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." But no matter how green my pasture is, the next one over is always greener. And though still waters sound soothing, what I really want is more excitement. "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake." And whenever he does lead me in paths of righteousness, I want you to know about it. And not for his namesake, but for mine. Because it makes me look good. And I like that. It's my unrighteousness that I'll never tell you about. "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." You know, that sounds good, but the truth is, I do fear the future. And even beyond that, I want to control my future. I even want to control the futures of my grown children. There are certain things that I want to happen when I look toward my future. There are certain things that I want to happen in the lives of my grown children. And if I'm perfectly honest, I don't want anybody else's rod and staff guiding me down a path I didn't choose. For example, I don't want any debilitating illness in my future or my family's future. And I want to have enough money to do what I want to do. I want my kids to be healthy and successful in their endeavors. Frankly, I'd much rather be calling the shots. And that's where the joke is on me. Because when we try to wrest authority away from God and call the shots ourselves and do what we want without a care for what God desires, we always make a royal mess of it. All of us. You know, when David was in his 20s and was being chased around the desert by King Saul, who wanted to kill him, David was desperate and afraid, and at that point in his life, the Lord was his shepherd. But 30 years later, when he was wealthy and powerful, he rejected God's guidance. He became his own shepherd, and all hell broke loose. You know, I've mentioned before my former seminary professor, Chad Bird, a brilliant guy who was recruited to teach at the seminary at age 31. So at a young age, he had a prestigious career. And before he even completed his PhD in Hebrew, he had a book contract. He was revered by the students he taught, and he had a beautiful family. And then he threw it all away in a story like King David's. The consequences of his self-centered sinfulness were disastrous. He lost his career, his book contract, and his beautiful family. And yet Jesus, the Good Shepherd, did not abandon him. The Good Shepherd searched and found him and brought him home. Recently, Chad Bird wrote this. One of the most remarkable features of the biblical narrative, and one of the most instructive, is that no attempt is made to clean up the embarrassing episodes from the lives of God's people. In fact, in the line strung from Genesis to Revelation, there's an awful lot of dirty laundry hanging there for the whole world to see. Here's why, Bird writes. Imagine a very different Bible, rewritten so the failures of God's people are expunged from the record. So Adam and Eve didn't spit out God's command and didn't devour the forbidden fruit. And Noah didn't get wasted on wine and pass out in his tent. And Joseph's brothers didn't stab him in the back. And Judah didn't hire his daughter-in-law as a prostitute and impregnate her. And Aaron didn't mold the idolatrous calf. And David didn't bed Bathsheba and knock off her husband. Imagine if all those stories were edited out of the Bible. What message would that send? It would send the same message about the people in the Bible that we want to send about ourselves. That the spiritual life is about us being strong, not weak. Us being victorious, not defeated. Us standing tall, not humbled low. But that's not the reality. And it never has been. A common problem among us, the sheep, is that we wear masks. A mask of strength to cover our weakness. A mask of fidelity to cover our unfaithfulness. We wear a mask of bold assertions to cover our doubts. We wear a mask of humility to cover our pride. But our masks and our phoniness destroy us. Destroy us and destroy our relationships with God and with one another. So here's some great news for us, the sheep. In the presence of the Good Shepherd, we can take off our masks. We can quit pretending. Masks don't hide anything from Him anyway, because Jesus, the Good Shepherd, knows you, His sheep. He knows everything about you. He knows your fears and your desires. He knows your weaknesses and your failures. He knows the thoughts you'd never dare express verbally. And even though He knows you intimately, warts and all, He loves you unconditionally. And in the words of absolution, and in His body and blood, somehow in the bread and wine, He loves you, forgives you, and even gives you His own righteousness. The reason we call this Good Shepherd Sunday is because the Good Shepherd has laid down His life for you. His suffering and death on a cross atones for your sin. And His final words, "It is finished," guarantee that his work for you is finished indeed. So be at peace and be forgiven. You can be honest about yourself because your guilt is covered up with the imputed righteousness of Christ, the Good Shepherd, given to you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love for us sheep who, like all sheep, go astray. Lord, help us to be filled with gratitude for what you have done for us and filled with humility before one another, true humility, because you have done it all for us. And we have no claim for ourselves. Lord, give us gratitude and humility, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.